Thank you, everyone. Thank you, baptismal candidates, for your stories this morning. We appreciate that. I think Fabian's already taken my message from this morning, which is great confirmation. Let me pray. Father, I pray that this morning you would make known the love that you have for your children here today. Amen. Amen. I want to take a brief look at a story that Jesus himself told. And in a moment we'll read it from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. But before we do that, I just want to explain a little context of this story. For many, Jesus was a controversial character. He said things that upset the religious elite. So much so that they even tried on a number of occasions to kill him. Let me read you this, just this one account in Luke 13. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." Can you imagine? The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" Wow. I think he upset a few people there. This is typical of how Jesus tried to explain the Father's love for people rather than the observance of rules. Jesus upset the nice comfy status quo. He disturbed the social norms. He welcomed children and upheld the value of women in a male-dominated society. He stood up for those who felt they were worthless. He healed the sick. He touched the lepers, the unclean, which no rabbi would ever do. He loved the so-called sinners, those hated by all in society, even the downtrodden. He gave a second chance to those who'd messed up. He refused to be swayed from his mission by anybody. He told parables in order to get his message across to his listeners, to illustrate a point and teach a lesson in a way that his hearers would understand. He was a great, great storyteller. And this leads me on to our story. In Luke chapter 15, it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" The text tells us that those listening to Jesus were both tax collectors and Pharisees, and everything in between, in other words. There was a cross-section of society trying to hear what this man had to say. The Pharisees were those who held high places of honour in society. They had big robes and tassels hanging off to show how holy and pious they were. They put the emphasis on the external. They wore special clothing to get and attract attention to themselves, so people would look up to them. Jesus, on the other hand, declared that everything they did was for show. They were proud of their spirituality and rigid in their positions. He effectively said they had lost their grip on reality. He said they strained at gnats and swallowed camels. They were words he used. They emphasized non-essentials, making the Sabbath a burden instead of a delight. They were the kind of men who thought they were more important than everyone else, and they were whispering about Jesus and how he shouldn't eat and talk with sinners. See, they thought they were better than everyone else and therefore had no need to be sorry for their actions. Have you ever felt really bad about something you've done or you've said? I mean, really bad. Something you've done that you really later on wished you hadn't. This week, yeah, I know you love it when I tell you things that I've messed up with. This week, I messed up a little bit. Okay. I was trying to get out of a parking space. I just realised all my bad things are about driving. Not all of my bad things, just one or two. Anyway, I was trying to get out of a parking space and I pulled out, there was a van in front of me and I pulled out and I went forward. But as you know, if you look in your mirror, you can see that your vehicle's getting a bit close to the edge of that vehicle you're trying to get past. So I did the right thing. I backed up, and as I backed up, my mirror caught the corner of this van and put a little dent in it and a little mark. And I just sat there and I thought, oh no, I really don't need this. So I drove off. A sinner. I drove off. I did, honestly. I drove off. And I got to the end of the road and I thought, you cannot do this. Made it worse, I was in the church minibus at the time. So I got to the end of the road and I just thought, Rob, you know you've had it done so many times to you. Your car's full of dents where people have opened their doors, pushed supermarket trolley. It's covered with dents. That doesn't make it right. So I drove around the one-way system and back up and parked back in the original space and put a note on the windscreen with my phone number. I didn't say I was a pastor. Anyway, I went home, I forgot all about it. And the next day, I received a text. And it was from a very nice Polish man. He said, can you ring me? Oh. Why? Just let it go, mate. Anyway, so he rang me. And I said, his words were broken English. What are we going to do about it? I thought, no. So I said, okay, I'll come and see you tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, 6:30. Anyway, I went to see him. I pulled up and I waited for him. I gave him a ring, said, I'm here. I had my super duper paste to try and get scratches out. And he met me. And he said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I dented your nice clean van. I said, I can try and... He said, just forget it. Thank you, God. I was so worried. I thought I was going to be hit with a £200-300 bill because a whole side of his van would need respraying. He said, forget it. It's a company vehicle anyway. When you're really sorry for something... I'm going to have to make a diary of all my driving incidents, aren't I? I don't need to. You're doing it for me, I know. When you're really sorry for something, you tell that person that you're sorry. That's what we do when we repent. And we ask God for forgiveness. But just like with us, we need to recognise that we are sinners and needs God's grace and forgiveness in our lives. To feel bad and say sorry to God for the way we live, for the way we think, for when we let him down, for our bad attitudes. That's just me. We need God to convict us of our sin. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the one that convinces us of our sin. Not me standing here trying to convince you. It's the Holy Spirit that works in your life. Chantel said something. She came in here and she felt something. It was the Holy Spirit when she walked through that door. I firmly believe that. See, the Pharisees didn't think they had to do this because they were so perfect and sinless. They were so careful to avoid breaking God's commandments that they built a fence around them. They added 248 commandments and 365 prohibitions to ensure they did not even approach the original 10. I'm sure their hearts were in the right place. And in so doing, they completely missed the point. They completely missed the point. Of course, Jesus knew what they were thinking. So he told the parable of the lost sheep. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he puts it on his shoulders joyfully and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." And Jesus explained to the Pharisees and to the people that were listening to him at that time, "I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Just like Fabian's car, they went searching for it. God went searching in this parable for the lost sheep. And just like there was a big party in heaven over that lost sheep, God of heaven has a big party when somebody repents and turns to him in heaven. Jesus didn't stop there. He said he did two other stories. I'm not going to go into them because of time. He talked about the woman who'd lost a coin and went searching for it and found it and called her friends. He then went on to talk about the prodigal son. The son that went away and came back to the Father. And when he came back, he repented. Jesus told three stories to illustrate one point. Probably hundreds of points, actually, but he told three stories. When something was said three times in ancient times, it meant it was truly, truly true. It was very true. Jesus was saying, the Father is desperate to restore his beloved children into the family. It's a profound mystery that God Almighty would, at the cost of his Son, make a way for us to have a friendship with him. Every single one of us. It's a profound mystery. And it's another mystery that he made it so easy for us. All we need is to recognize that we are sinners and in need of God's forgiveness and tell him we are sorry. It's as simple as taking a couple of minutes, going somewhere quiet, talking to God anywhere, and say you're sorry for the wrong things you've done and ask God to forgive you. Do you know, sorry is such a hard word to say. And do you know why? It's because we have to recognize our wrongness and swallow our pride, and in so doing, we belittle ourselves to another person. We give them power over us as we humble ourselves. This is what the Lord Jesus needs from us. Giving our life to him isn't only an act of our minds. It's an act of our hearts and spirits, recognizing his holiness and his purity and our dirtiness before him. I pray that God will give each one of us a revelation of our dirtiness before God. When you truly ask God to forgive you, he immediately erases our sins from his memory and he will never think of it again. It's pretty easy. But it's not just saying sorry, that's easy. It's about turning from our old way of life and saying, God, I want to live your way and I need your help to do this. I would urge you, every one of us, don't be like a Pharisee who thinks they don't need to repent. Every single one of us. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. That's not 358, leaving one person, all of us. Romans 5 tells us, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You, me, everybody. So if you think you're perfect, forget it, because I know you're not. Jesus' message in Luke 13 was clear. Unless you repent, you will perish. Unless you repent and turn to God, you will perish. There's a line in that song. You're the one who never leaves the one behind. It ends with that line. God will do whatever it takes to find his lost children. Whatever it takes to find his lost children. But at the end of the day, each child must acknowledge their need of his forgiveness. I can't lay it out any clearer than that. I'm trying to be really quick and really clear because I know there's a football match on this afternoon. But you know what? It's not important, because what I'm saying here isn't really important. So let me pray as we close, and the musicians come back, please, for our final song. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we acknowledge you, our Heavenly Father, that you'll make us aware of our sin. You'll make us aware of our need for you in our lives. Lord Jesus, if we've been here a long time, God, we get so complacent and so blind to our own faults. Lord, that you will reveal them to ourselves. Lord, that you will show us the areas that don't please you. Father, we're all on that journey and we thank you that you're with us. Lord, but show us what you want to work within our lives. Show us the areas of our lives that do not please you, Lord, and help us to put them straight. Father, thank you for the testimonies we've heard this morning. Thank you for the lives that are touched in this building, week in, week out. I pray you continue that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.